Good afternoon, and thanks for joining us for today's Healthline, where we like to focus on ways to live a happier, healthier, and pain-free life. We'll be taking your calls and answering your questions live in the studio today. We'll be opening the phone lines, and as a reminder, make sure you are in a quiet room when you call with your TV turned all the way down. Our number is 318-219-4569. We'll have that number at the bottom of the screen so you can be sure to find it. Today we are talking about eye health, specifically cataracts and advancements in treatment, with two ophthalmologists from Willis-Knighton Eye Institute, Dr. Christopher Shelby and Dr. Weitch Coleman. Good afternoon, and thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Good to be here, y'all.
Yeah. Well, we were talking in between breaks, and I'm very interested in, you know, I have a lot of personal interest in what we're going to be talking about today. But tell me a little bit about advancements in cataracts.
We know in the old days with cataract surgery, you know, you would remove the cataract and you put a new lens in, and if somebody needed to wear glasses afterwards, that's just the way it was. Most of the advancements over the last decade have been centered around refractive results. And when we say that, we mean getting people free from glasses after cataract surgery with a LASIK type result. So a lot of advancements have been made in lens technology, the process by which the procedure is done. You know, now we use a laser to do a few portions of the procedure more precisely than we can do it by hand. And our measurements have gotten better. And we've even got some lenses that are very specialized, like the light adjustable lens. People may see advertisements for that on TV. And that's a lens that you can put in someone's eye, and rather than having to pick the exact correct power to put them in perfect focus ahead of time, you can come back and adjust the power of the lens afterwards. You can change the focusing power once it's already in the eye. And that's an ideal solution for people who've had previous LASIK or especially RK surgery. Those are people in the past that we would have had a high probability of leaving them in glasses afterwards with not a lot of good options to get them free from glasses. Light adjustable lens gives us the ability to take that group of people and give them a near perfect result in most cases.
Gotcha. Very cool advancements there. Cool. So take me through your typical surgery process.
Well, surgery is not that bad, which I know is easy for us to say, being on the blunt end of everything, but patients come in, we generally operate pretty early. You know, it's an NPO surgery, meaning that you can't eat after midnight the night before. You get to the surgery center, there's some obligatory paperwork, then you come in the back, the girls, our nurses, start an IV. Because when we do cataract surgery, we do it under conscious sedation. So we don't put you to sleep and there's no shots. We give a little IV medication just to make you drowsy. Once we're done with that, we dilate the eye. We get you back to the operating room where we numb the eye up really good. We use an ultrasound to gently remove the cataract. Once the cataract is out, we use a little vacuum cleaner to make sure everything's really clean. Then we generally will take a measurement of the eye at the time of surgery to verify the lens power, like Dr. Coleman was saying, to try to put patients in perfect focus. Once that's done, we actually roll the lens up like a burrito and we inject it through a little bitty incision. The incision's so small, there's no stitches. Then we clean everything up and we're done. It generally takes about 6 to 10 minutes from start to finish. Most patients aren't aware of it. It's painless and everybody generally sees much better that day.
Awesome.
And the patients are usually the surgery center for about an hour and a half.
Great. Yeah, well, that's great. So who is a good candidate? What are some of the symptoms that someone might be experiencing that may need this surgery?
Well, you know, people ask, are cataracts inherited in the same way that everything in the human race is inherited? If you live long enough, you're going to get a cataract. People who have multiple medical problems, diabetes and things like that, they'll get them sooner. Some young people get them with no pre-existing conditions at all, and they just have a cataract earlier. But the average age is 69, so usually it's in the older age group. Some people make it into their 80s. But just about everybody who's, you know, mid-70s or later needs cataract surgery. So that would be the typical patient, is the older age group. But sometimes we see people who are not a LASIK candidate. Let's say they're very farsighted. They have a plus in front of their prescription, so they can't see clearly at any distance without glasses or contacts. Many times we'll do what's called a refractive lens exchange, which is just an elective cataract surgery. If you watch a video of a refractive lens exchange and a cataract surgery, they are identical. Those people are just doing cataract surgery electively for the purpose of getting glasses independence when they would not be a good candidate for LASIK.
Gotcha. Okay, so are there different types of surgery? So we have LASIK, and then you mentioned maybe, is it RK? So these different types of surgeries for specifically cataracts?
No, so you have to go back and look at the anatomy. When you think about the whole purpose of your eyeball, okay, is like a camera. The whole purpose is to focus light from out here as a sharp point on your retina. Okay, and so the first thing that light hits is your cornea. That's the front clear part. And like if you wear contacts, mm-hmm. okay, you don't have cataracts at your age. You know, cataract is a browning of your God-given lens. It's a reward for birthdays. As we get older, we mm-hmm. all get those. But you're in your 20s or 30s, and you're a little nearsighted because your eye is a little too long, okay? And the front part of your eye focuses light a little bit too strong. And so what happens is that light focuses somewhere in the middle of your eye. That's why it's blurry at a distance, but it's clearer the closer you get. And in those situations, when the cataract is not present, so your lens is crystal clear, so it's focusing light just fine, your cornea, the front clear part, focuses light too strong. And so that's when we do LASIK, mm-hmm. where we take a laser and we gently reshape the surface of the eye so we can change the focusing power. RK is radial keratotomy, and that's the old way to change the corneal shape. We don't do that anymore.
Okay, you know, gotcha.
Because LASIK, PRK, and SMILE are our current procedures that we use to do the reshaping of the cornea.
Okay.
Now, if you're in your 50s or 60s or 70s, you're going to have some lens changes. You know, those are cataracts. So if you came in and you're 55 and you're like, I want to get out of glasses. Well, like Dr. Coleman said, we look very closely to see if you're nearsighted or farsighted or have astigmatism. If you have a color change of your God-given lens, you have a cataract, then we're going to elect to do cataract surgery at that point to try to get you in perfect focus. Mm-hmm. The good news is that after cataract surgery, and let's say you're seeing well, but it's a little bit blurry because you have a little nearsightedness, or you have a little astigmatism, or you're a little farsighted, then we can do LASIK or PRK afterwards and reshape that cornea a little bit to get you in focus even after cataract surgery.
Okay. So I wear contacts, and I'm far or nearsighted.
Tragic that you wear contacts.
Right. And I have an astigmatism. So you think I would be a good candidate for LASIK?
Almost certainly. You know, yeah. You don't sleep in them, do you?
No.
Okay,
no.
good. That's my public service announcement. Yeah. Don't sleep in your contacts. That's contacts, really bad. Yeah. So, yeah, if you're nearsighted with a little bit of astigmatism, you're probably, the perfect age, and that's the perfect setup for LASIK or refractive surgery.
Interesting.
You know, people who are farsighted, that's a little bit more difficult, especially people who are very farsighted for some technical reasons. People who are really nearsighted, some people would be, like I have a prescription that are a minus 20.
Yeah,
that would be very extreme. And some of those people are not a candidate, but they could be a candidate for things like implantable contact lenses, and we'll get into that in a minute. But you're probably a perfect candidate. And you mentioned before that you have some apprehensions about LASIK. We should just dig into them. I want to know. I think it would be good to discuss it on there. So what makes you scared of it?
Well, yeah, I've had several friends that have had the procedure, and you're aware, right? You're kind of awake when it happens, and you see all of the things. I think that's what is a little
uncomfortable.
It's like the actual
procedure. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, the actual procedure, seeing all of the things in my eyeball, like that's a little uncomfortable. But if you can put me at ease, then go ahead.
Okay. Yeah. Go ahead.
So, yeah, very common. Mm-hmm. You know, like I said, and my dad used to say, it's all minor surgery. Unless it's on him, then it's all major surgery.
Right.
Right. So, the lasers that we use, the technology that we have, is very gentle. And you being a contact lens wearer, and I tell all patients this, you know, you're used to poking around in your eyes, and you're mm-hmm. also used to putting eye makeup on, taking it mm-hmm. off, things like that. So, you know, you have been desensitized a little bit to messing with your eyeballs. The laser that we use to create the flap is so gentle that when we get suction, patients don't feel it. And to prove that to ourselves, one night Dr. Coleman and I docked the laser to each other, and we were completely sober when we did it. We had no Valium on board or whiskey or anything else. And so he numbed my eye up, and he put the speculum in, and we use a speculum to hold the eyelids open, and in all transparency, that is the weirdest part.
Okay.
It's not painful. You know, it just feels kind of weird. He brought the laser down. He got gentle suction, and we know it gets suction because the laser talks to us, so we know when things are happening. Did not feel a thing.
Cool.
Now, we did not laser each other because we were sober, right? And so, and I say that because when we create the flap in LASIK, or we create the lenticule in SMILE, the laser takes about 15, 16 seconds to create the flap. During that time period, maybe a little pressure, but what patients will say it feels like is if, you know, you put a contact lens on too hard, you know, you press mm-hmm. a little bit. And so there's really no pain there. We move patients underneath another laser where we raise the flap, and we do LASIK itself. That doesn't hurt either. A little pulling and tugging. And when the eczema laser is doing the reshaping, of course, it's removing tissue, so it kind of smells like burning hair. Mm-hmm. And we tell patients that so they don't think there's something wrong.
Right.
There's a lot of irrigation. We lay the flap down. The patients are in the room maybe 20 minutes. And we ask everybody, was that what you thought? Was it better or worse than what you thought it was going to be? And everybody, hands down, says, man, that wasn't bad at all. Mm-hmm. You know, it's really weird. You know, you see lights and colors and things mm-hmm. like that. But that anxiety about having the procedure is incredibly normal.
Yeah.
You know, and so, but I can tell you, rest assured, we've never had anybody sit up and say, oh my God, that was the worst thing I've ever experienced.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you guys are putting me at ease, and I might be calling you guys soon.
Yeah. You know, we did do some measurements to make sure you're a candidate and stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know, one of the things, one good point to make is that in early lasers, so you have two lasers. You're, you know, starting from scratch on LASIK. Mm-hmm. Your cornea is about a half a millimeter thick. Okay, so you use one laser to create a flap that's about a tenth of a millimeter thick. You lift it up, reshape the cornea, lay the flap back down. So the flaps that the laser that would create the corneal flap is called the femtosecond laser. So almost every laser ever created had to apply a lot of suction to the eye because it had to make the cornea flat. It had to create so much suction that it would make it flat so it could cut in a flat plane. That requires a lot of suction. That's when the vision would go black. You may have heard stories about that during the procedure you can't see anything and your vision goes dark. The new laser we have, the Zeiss Visumax, is the best one ever created. It uses about a third the suction that those previous ones do, and the reason is it because it can cut an arc plane. It does not cool. have to flatten your cornea, and that's the reason that you can't feel it when it's on your eye. So you maintain fixation, you can see the blinking light the whole time. You don't really feel any pressure, and so that's been a big advancement. It also creates a better result and faster healing time too.
Awesome, good to know. Well, I think we have our first caller joining us today. We have David. David, what's your question?
I was wondering, I'm 55 years old, and is this considered a cosmetic surgery, or is it something that my insurance would cover?
Are you talking about cataract surgery or LASIK?
Well, like I said, I'm 55 years old. I can see a bug on a post 300 yards, but I can't see my watch on my wrist.
Yeah, happy birthday, Ryan. Yeah. You know, I'm 51, I feel you. So if you came
well,
in...
Well, you started when I was 45.
Do what now?
This started when I was like 45, and I went to an eye doctor back then, and they said there was nothing I could do but wear glasses. I
yeah.
can't wear glasses, my God. I'd go through 100 pair of glasses a week.
So it's a great question, and it's incredibly common. You know, when people hit their 40s, we call it job security. That's called presbyopia. You know, your lens, your God-given lens, has lost its ability to focus in up close. And so as that happens, and of course it happens slowly, generally starting in early to mid-40s, and it drifts out, your distance vision remains really good. You just can't see anything up close. Mm-hmm. And so, of course, that process will continue over time, you know, to where that near vision continues to deteriorate, and your distance vision will actually begin to be affected also. So at this point right now, if you were to come in and we were to take a look, if you have some lens changes to where we can say, oh my God, David, you know, you do have cataracts, you can have cataract surgery to help correct that, that portion is paid for. The insurance and Medicare comes in and says, well, that's great, you can do cataract surgery, but they're not gonna pay for the extra amount that's required for like a multifocal lens. You know, if you wanted to be glasses independent, that is an extra charge that is out of pocket. If you didn't have cataracts and you were a LASIK candidate for, say, monovision, where we do one eye distance and one eye up close, so you're not having to wear glasses, LASIK is not covered by insurance. But it would be one of those things where we just have to take a look and see.
Okay, well, I'll just schedule an appointment.
All right, sounds great.
Awesome. Well,
all right, thank you very much.
Uh-huh, thank you for the call.
You know, he brings up an interesting point about 55 years old, can't see up close. That, you know, in the 20 years ago, you'd say if someone's 30, we do LASIK or less. And if they're 60 or more, we're going to do cataract surgery. And those people in the middle, maybe do nothing. But cataract surgery's gotten a lot better. So you can correct a lot of things to get people out of glasses with cataract surgery. LASIK is excellent. It's gotten better too. So now there's not much of a gap there. But somebody who's 55 could fall into either category. If
right.
they have zero cataract, probably LASIK's the better choice. If they have some degree of cataract, probably cataract surgery is the better choice, because you don't want to go do LASIK and then come back a year or two later and do cataract surgery. You could have just solved it with one surgery. Mm-hmm. You'd like to do less procedures. That's lower risk. So it's difficult to say when somebody is at in that intermediate age group without looking and taking some measurements first.
Right. The best thing would probably be to just come and make a consultation with you guys.
Okay. We can usually do something is the moral of the story.
Good. Yeah. Well, we have Gene on the line. Gene, what is your question?
Yes. I'm just now approaching 60 years of age. And a few years ago, I'd had 20/20 most of my life till I hit my 40s, of course. Well, then I developed a stigma in my right eye. Can this be corrected with this type of surgery?
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, that was one of the things. That's one of the things that's really gotten great with cataract surgery. So if you're 60, you're probably in the cataract surgery realm more so than the LASIK. That's not hard and fast, but that's a general rule that probably you're closer to cataract surgery. And we are excellent at correcting astigmatism at the time of cataract surgery. So for those who don't know, astigmatism is basically where the cornea, the clear part of the front of the eye, is not spherical and round like a basketball, shaped like a football, basically. So it is steeper in one axis and flatter in the other. So it bends light more in the steep axis than it does in the flat axis. So we actually have lenses that we can place at the time of cataract surgery that have astigmatism correction built into them. So they basically cancel out that astigmatism that's in the cornea. So you no longer have to wear a pair of glasses or contacts over the eye to correct it. It's corrected within the eye itself. And we're extremely accurate with astigmatism correction at the time of cataract surgery. And that's one of the big advancements. So we have a high probability, 98-99% chance of getting you 20/20 or better without glasses at all after cataract surgery.
Okay, so they had me using bifocals.
Right.
So would they eliminate the bifocals?
So it can, you know, if we correct astigmatism and just go for a distance target, then you would be just back to where you needed readers from the drugstore you did in your mid-40s. There are multifocal lenses. Multifocal lenses are lenses that put an image in focus simultaneously from distance, intermediate, and near. And they make those in a form that corrects astigmatism and they correct the near component of vision. Probably the best multifocal that we've ever had is the Panoptix multifocal. We advertise that one a lot because we think it's great. And about 99% of people with that lens after cataract surgery don't wear glasses for any task. So it's really great at getting rid of glasses for all distances.
Oh, well, that'd be great because I've noticed it over the years because of I'm a hunter, and of course, using, you know, scopes and everything else, you know, my long distance has not been really that great since the stigma in the eye, so this would correct all the issues.
Yeah, usually we can correct all of that and probably make you more deadly.
Okay, I'm going to have to come see y'all.
Yeah, give us a call. We should probably plug the website now. It's mm-hmm. thecataractsurgeons.com. Our numbers are on there. We have the location at Piermont South, Wilsite North, whatever's closest to you. Tell them you talk to us on TV. We'll get you in quick.
Okay, I appreciate that.
Yeah, thanks for the call.
All right, thanks, Gene. Yeah, so since we're talking about back to cataracts, can you tell us a little bit about the recovery process, how long it takes for people to get back on their feet driving?
Yeah, it doesn't take long at all. By the next day, when the sedation's worn off, I mean, people can drive, they can get back to a lot of routine activities. And because we don't put stitches in the wound, the main thing is to avoid traumatizing the eye. So we'll have patients minimize bending and lifting for about 5 days, and that's mainly so they don't bump or rub the eye. Have you sleep in a shield for about 5 nights. You know, that prevents you from rubbing your eye when you're asleep. Mm-hmm. But it's, generally by the next day, things are doing pretty well. It takes a couple of days for the dilation to come down, the swelling go away. And then because we don't do both eyes the same day, we usually do them about a week apart, sometimes within the same week, to get people balanced as much as possible. So generally you're down for the count about a week.
Yeah,
that's not bad.
Awesome. Well, we have another caller on the line. Wilma is here and she has a question for you guys. What's your question?
What I want to know is what makes your eye run tears quite a bit?
So, tearing, does it happen all the time? Like when you wake up in the morning to the time you go to bed, is it tearing, or does it do it periodically throughout the day?
Almost all the day, but not just constantly, but I guess periodically.
So the most common reason for tearing, believe it or not, is dry eyes. And that's just a syndrome. So there's a dysfunction of the tear film. And we all have this thin layer of tears that line the eye, responsible for keeping it moist. And we blink about 11 to 12 times a minute. When there's a dysfunction in that tear film, they tend to evaporate real rapidly. The nerves on the surface of the eye become exposed. And they're responsible, they're like a barometer. They test the environment, and they're responsible for reflex tearing. And when the surface feels dry, it sends a signal to your brain to produce tears. So they tend to water quite a bit, especially if you're reading for a long period of time, or you're watching TV, or you're in the car, you're driving, and the AC or the heater is kind of blowing on your face. That can actually make it worse. Sometimes there can be an obstruction in the little drain mechanism in the eyelids itself that prevents those tears from draining into your nose. You know, sometimes when you put a drop in, you can taste it. So you have a connection between the eyelids and the back of your throat, basically. And so if that's obstructed at all, that'll cause those tears to overrun. And it's actually something that we can take a look at and tell what's going on. And that's very treatable, because I know that can be really miserable.
It's treatable?
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am. Very treatable. We just need to be able to take a look at you to see exactly what it is causing that.
Okay. All right. I was wondering what you could do to treat it, but you need to come to the doctor.
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am. I mean, a lot of times people use artificial tears, and I know that sounds ironic, you know, thinking, why am I putting tears?
I use that artificial tear stuff.
Yeah, if that's not working, then probably a good idea to let us take a look and see, because there's other things that we can use to treat certain types of dry eye. It may be, like I said, maybe mechanical, where the lids are pulled down a little bit, or that drain's not opened, and we can test that in the clinic. And like Dr. Coleman was saying, we've got three different locations. You can go to thecataractsurgeons.com, whichever one's closest to you. You can give us a call. Dr. Coleman's number is 212-5901.
I'm so glad you
remember. Did I get it right? Yes.
For once.
That was
it took
a test.
10 years.
Yeah. He's over at Wilson-Knighton South. I'm at Piermont, 212-3937, and also at Wilson-Knighton North, which is 212-2020. But any one of those locations, we can take a look and see what's going on and alleviate those symptoms, because, like I said, I know that can be miserable.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah, thanks for calling. You know, it's probably a good time to point out one of the more common causes of dryness that's really underdiagnosed, I think, is people who don't close completely when they sleep. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Some high percentage of the human population, maybe it's as high as 50%, don't close their eyes completely, and will have 1 millimeter open. And
right.
So it'll dry out all night. It'll dry out all night while you're sleeping. And then no matter how many artificial tears you put in during the day, you can never make up for that dryness that occurs at night. So we typically recommend gel tears, which are a thicker version of artificial tears, or lubricant ointment, like Systane Overnight is a good one. And you can just put a little bit of it in at night, and it'll keep a lubricant coating over the surface of your eyes while you sleep. And that's more common as people get older also. So a lot of times people struggle with this. They've tried all sorts of stuff. They've used expensive drops. It doesn't help. You get them lubricated at night, it solves the problem. So
right.
I'm a big fan of that. And I would say to people who are watching that have problems with tearing, scratchiness, it feels like something is in the eye, they wake up and it's crusty, try lubricating them at night, especially if you use a CPAP, if you have sleep apnea, because you get blow-by. They should hand out CPAP machines with lubricant
right.
ointment, because everybody gets dry eyes with CPAP machines, but nobody knows it until they come to the office. So, you know, if your eyes are dry and you're on a CPAP, lubricate them at night. If you don't want to go see the doctor, lubricate them at night. If that doesn't work, then come see us.
Mm-hmm. Good tips there. So can they get that over the counter?
Yeah, you can get Systane Gel and Systane Overnight. Gel's a little thinner. Overnight's thicker. It's in a tube. Some people think it's too goopy. If you think it's too goopy, try the gel. Mm-hmm. If those don't work, then come see us.
Okay, good tips there. Well, I think we have another caller. Billy is on the line.
Yes. This may not be a yes or no answer. Is there an age cutoff for any eye surgery, such as a 94-year-old, such as I am?
No.
No, that's a simple yes or no. That's a no. There's no age cutoff. Yeah,
I don't think if you broken 100.
So the oldest person I've operated on was 101.
I'm jealous.
And they finally got some blurred vision.
If you are 94 and you have not had cataract surgery,
you need cataract surgery.
Guaranteed. I don't have to look to tell you that.
Yeah.
And it will blow your mind.
Optometrist, or whatever you call him, eye doctor, it was just 6 years ago, he said, well, they're ready. And he promptly retired. And I thought, these are my eyes, and I can read the crawl on the bottom of the TV, and I can read, the fine print. I still read. I see all I need to see.
Well, I had an unusual day in cataract clinic yesterday where I had four people who came in, and they came in for a cataract eval. They were referred. They've already been diagnosed with cataract, sort of like you are. And they said, I'm seeing great. I have no problems. And I said, well, if it ain't bothering you, it ain't bothering me. Let me know when it bothers you. You know, if you're dry, if you're doing everything you need to do, there's nothing compelling to get surgery. But whenever you feel like you don't see as good as you need to see, that cataract surgery is the solution. I had an old friend years ago, and he was 92, and he started talking to me about his poor vision. He said, I don't know why my vision's bad. And I said, well, how long ago did you have cataract surgery? He says, well, I've never had cataract surgery. I said, well, my gosh, just go get it. You know, you need it. And he wrote me a nice letter that said, you know, in retrospect, he hadn't seen good in the last 20 years, but his dandruff was much worse than ever before, and that was his main complaint.
I still have a driver's license. It expires this year, and I was driving up until a year ago when I was just minding my own business, driving down Centenary Boulevard, going to the post office, and a young guy ran into me. He came from a side street, and after the initial shock and everything, I said, what were you doing? Because he came to the window and said, are you okay? And I said, yes, but what are you doing? And he said, I was talking on my cell phone.
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
I'd still be driving right now, but I'm afraid somebody else is going to hit me.
Well, we should at least check the vision. If you're doing fine and you have no problems, there's no compelling reason to do cataract surgery. And that's true no matter how young or how old you are. But if you're not seeing as good as you need to at any point, no matter how old you are, you know, if you're healthy and doing fine, we can do cataract surgery. And somebody your age, I'd say we just be a little careful. We don't want to give you too much sedation and throw you off your regular routine. And you'll do fine if you need it. But if it's not broke, don't fix it too. So yep. It's kind of up to you.
You said something about being sedated. I don't take any kind of medicine, and I thought, well, yeah, if I would do this, they'd probably give me too much, and I might not wake up. I guess it's just fear.
Well,
I thought about having the cataract surgery, but then I thought, well, I see okay, and if I'm not going to drive anymore, well, you know, why do it if I can see?
We've got about like a minute left, so I'll try to be quick. But you don't have to have any sedation to have cataract surgery. Now, some people say, gosh, that sounds terrible to me. I had a good friend of mine. He's a retired surgeon. I did cataract surgery on him. I guess about a month ago, I talked to him yesterday. And he said at the end of the surgery, I told him I was going to quote him on this forever, that he didn't want any sedation. He had a lot of things to do that day. We gave him nothing, just numb the eye with some drops like we always do. And at the end of it, he said that was just not quite as bad as brushing my teeth in the morning. That was no big deal. I'm glad I did it with no sedation. So, you know, if we're worried about that, don't worry. And if you halfway through say, I feel like I need some, you can get it anytime you want it.
Oh, that is so good. Thank you so much for answering my questions.
Thank you for calling.
Goodbye.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Well, I've been sitting on this one last question all show.
Go.
Tell me, I think you know the answer. Why do pirates wear eye patches?
Oh, we only got 30 seconds. Okay, so this is a good one. It's not because I only have one eye. It's because your retina adapts to light separately. They don't do it together. So if you patch one eye, it gets dark adapted. So if you go below deck in a ship with no lights, you switch to the patch to your eye that you used above deck, and now you can see below deck. And then when you go back up, you switch it.
Cool.
TheCataractSurgeons.com.
Now you know.
Yep, that's all the time we have. Dr. Weitch Coleman, Dr. Shelby, Christopher Shelby.
Thank you. Oh, I'm glad to squeeze that in. There you go.